God's plan and purpose for us. And if we look at Isaiah chapter 52, they're excited. Hallelujah. Who's excited here? If you can't hear online, it's because I can hear the super kids in the background. They're all like, we're excited. They're calling it. We're excited. Hallelujah. So Isaiah prophesies to the time when the children of Israel would come out of their captivity of Babylon and the Assyrian and the Persians, have that captivity that's left them in a place that's a foreign land. And yet now is the time and they have been summoned back. And God says in Isaiah 52, verse 11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He will go before you, he'll be your rear guard. It talks about the fact that when God says, when you go out, you're not to run in terms of fear, you're not to be sort of feeling as if you're being chased out, you're to go out with confidence and boldness. And if you just go back to chapter 51, this is sort of what the Lord sees. It says, then verse 3, indeed the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, all and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and a sound of a melody. In other words, God's plan is for them to come out not be in a desperate place, but wherever they go, because as they're traveling, they're in a desert. As they get back to Jerusalem, that they'll find that the place has been decimated and let go, and farms haven't been run and haven't been watered. And he says, when you get back, don't be concerned, because wherever you go, if you go with my presence and my glory, I will take that place where you are and I will turn it into a place of beautiful fruitfulness and life. That's what God's plan is for us. While we're here on this journey, we have come out of the world, but we're heading into our final destination, heaven. But while we're here, we're not just to wander in the desert. You know, you can see the parts of this and patterns of this even when the Israelites. Remember when the Israelites were going through the wilderness, wherever they went, manna would appear. They would get beautiful manna supplied for them. Like there shouldn't be. And there was times when they needed water. And the Lord said, strike the rock. And out of the rock flowed water in the desert. And so there's many prophecies and declarations that in the midst of where you are, God would work there. I like in Psalm 1 when it talks about the man who meditates on the word and makes the word his final authority. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. I like the Tanakh translation, which is a Jewish translation. Funnily enough, you can only get it for the Old Testament. They didn't bring out a New Testament for the Tanakh. It's just the Jewish people's translation. And it says, in this verse, whatever he does prospers. They say, whatever it produces thrives. Whatever it produces thrives. Well, how cool is that? But I also love that when it says, but planted by the streams of water. You know, because this word streams is the a Hebrew word, peleg. It says it's a stream, a channel, any abundant flow of oil or water. It refers to a channel or a tributary of a river. It designates man-made water channels. That was really significant to me. Because what God said is, if you get in the word and wherever I plant you, don't plant yourself near where the supply is. Plant yourself where I call you, and I will bring the supply to you. Do you know what I mean? Don't say, well, I need to go over there because that's where the good jobs are, or go over here because that's where my family are nearby, or go over here because that's where the finances are better, or go over here because it's got a better climate. He said, God said, you just get where I tell you to get in the Word of God, and he said, then I will make channels of water come to you. I've seen people leave the will of God for all sorts of reasons over the years, chasing things. Or, you know, I had a family, like, oh, you know, I need to go over there so my kids can, you know, find partners. I need to go over here so I can do this. Not because God was leading, not because the Word of God was directing them, but because they said, over there, that's where my answer is. You know, that's a terrible reason to go somewhere. You don't go where the source is, the water is. You go where God tells you, because that can be, see, the Israelites would never have left Babylon if they were looking for the waters. Remember, there's a famous song, and Boney M. Anyone remember Boney M? You know, like that dates a few people. I was a very young child when this song came on. So was Graham. One of us is lying. Maybe both. Some reggae, is that Rastafarian band, I think. So sort of, they'd sing scripture, but not for the right reasons. Singing from the book of Psalms, you know, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. But what was that Babylon? Rivers. Why would you head out to the desert when the rivers are there? Why would you leave the rivers to go to a dry place? God says, don't make the rivers your source. Make the Word and His place your source. You go where God leads you. And He says, where you go becomes a garden, well watered. So we're not, you know, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He adds all the necessary things to us. All right? We don't seek God's best, you know, we don't seek, sorry, the supply and then say, God, can you come and bless us while I'm here? We seek God and His ways and His righteousness, and then we have this promise. So I always love it when it says, and He will be planted like a tree firmly planted by the canals of water. That's how I translate it, by the canals. You get where God wants you, and He will dig the trench to you, all right? Because you know what the difference between a canal and a stream is? Streams, you know, that's why people have canals. You know, I grew up in Mildura for the first 5 or 6 years of my life, so I don't remember much of it, but I do remember a little bit. We lived out on a property that was surrounded by grapevines, and Mildura is a dry place, but they had all these grapevines. You know why? Because as well as the grapevines, all these canals, and people, they'd go down, and I'd have friends, they'd go down, and they'd dig for yabbies in the canal, go and look for the canal. I remember going. It was a hot place, Mildura, you know, 40 degrees day after day at times. I remember I would have been about 6 years of age and I had my first job picking grapes. Pretty tough. You know what I mean? Family threw me out, so you got to work. No. My older brother, who was, you know, like he was really old, like he was 11, like really old. He had a job picking grapes, and so they let me go and join him. When I think about it, you get a sharp knife. Six-year-old out there picking grapes. Anyway, it had a metal tin, and you had to fill it with grapes, and then you put it to the side, and you got paid 5 cents per tin that you filled with grapes. So they sent me out with my little water, my little cordial bottle and my sharp kitchen knife, and I had a drink in my water bottle, got to work, cut and filled one bucket, drank half my cordial, cut and filled a second one and finished my cordial and walked home. It's just too hot. So me and my brother both got checks in the mail. I don't know, he got dollars worth, you know, because he just sat there working for hours. I got a 10-cent check. My first paycheck. If I'd known more, I would have kept it and framed it, you know what I mean? It'd be much better memory having a framed 10-cent check than, well, I know, we cashed it. And but how could you grow grapes in this dry 40-degree hot climate? Because every few hundred meters you'd be driving, go over a little bridge because there's a canal. You drive over another bridge and there's another canal. Because they weren't relying on the water that was natural. They were feeding water to these areas. And God feeds the water to us. You do not rely on the seasons and the natural, you know, we don't look and say, this is a good place because we're in a good place naturally. We look to the Lord and then he makes the provision. That's his plan. That's his desire for you. That's his desire for me. We walk, but we've got to do it in the right place. We've got to do it in the right way. We've got to be able to, it's interesting. It says, he who delights in the law of the Lord. That doesn't mean this, he who has got the word of God on his bookshelf, or he who comes to the church and listens to a church service while scrolling Facebook and doing other things. Catch anybody? I'm saying it's not just to be enough around it. You don't even have it. My family's really into the Word of God. No, you've got it. He delights in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. It's a very purposeful thing. He does it. And it says, not everyone gets this blessing. It says in verse 4, the wicked are not so. It just doesn't happen for everybody. And if you turn back to Isaiah 52, it starts in verse 11 with a double word. In other words, a word used for emphasis. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Do you see that? Verse 11, chapter Isaiah 52. Depart, depart. Well, that's interesting. If you look at, you can find this. It's a repeated sort of thing of repeating these words. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 9. Let's see if we've got it there. Isaiah 51, verse 9. Awake, awake! Verse 17 of 51. Awake, awake! For some reason, the New American Bible says, rouse yourself, rouse yourself. But it's exactly the same Hebrew. I don't know why they translated it two different ways. In verse 1 of chapter 52, this says, awake, awake! Again, same Hebrew phrase. So three times they repeat this phrase, and the middle one they decide to translate it different. I don't know. I just say awake. Awake, 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 depart, depart. Look at the start of chapter 52. I want you to notice in these couple of verses all the instructions to them. Awake, awake, double instruction. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. There's a lot of yourselves in there. There's a lot of yourselves in there, isn't there? Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. Shake yourself. Loose yourself. Wake up. Wake up. Yourself. So there's an instruction for them to get up and to take steps and to do things so they can be in this place of God's provision and grace and his goodness. And I wouldn't want you to think that this bubble of God's goodness, I like thinking as a bubble because it talks about, he says, I'll go before, and then he says, I'll be your rear guard. In the King James, I did check it because I know we put it up last week and it had your reward. And I was like, that's not all I've got written here. And I thought maybe I've written it down wrong. And so I went and checked on it. It's actually reward, R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D. And it's an old English spelling based on an old French sort of word, mean rear guard. It means rear guard, but it's in the original King James, it had this word, reward. You know, and if God wants to reward me again, I'm quite happy for that. So I sort of like the reward, but it just means your rear guard. He says, I'm your rear guard and I'm going ahead. So it's like I just see God ahead and behind, and my job is to rejoice. My God is to move forward. My job is to get out of Babylon and not hang around where the waters are and where I can sit there and mope all day. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down on And it talks about they hung their harps on the trees because we're in Babylon. We're next to the waters. But there came a time when it says, leave the waters, stop your moaning, and get out there and follow God and go in and bring a garden to wherever you go. Walk in that presence. But get up, clothe yourself, get out, loose yourself. I like that. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck. Isn't that God's business? You know, isn't that God's job to get me out? Well, he break the chains, but you've got to get some of them off. Sometimes there's things that are hanging. Remember when Lazarus was raised out of the tomb, and it says, had to wrap the grave clothes off him. I always remember Carmen, a singer, Christian singer, who did a song about Lazarus coming. Did anyone remember that? And he was acting it out on stage, and he said, out came Lazarus, and he's going like this. He said, you might be wondering why he's doing like that, because he was wrapped up in his grave clothes. And they said, unwrap him. You know, some people are alive, but still in their grave clothes. And they stink. They keep you, you're alive, but you're still living under the restrictions. So clothe yourself in your strength. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. Shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck. You know, there's instructions for us. The Lord, in Isaiah 61, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. But there's a choice there. There's a choice. You can be this or this. And you've got to learn to shake free from that and lay hold of this. To walk and to move and to be in that channel, to be in that holy place where God's goodness and grace and life is flowing. There is provision in that place of his grace. I want those that are appointed to come and we're going to come around the communion table. You know, there's other things that we will explore. We won't be here next week. We'll have prayer in a few minutes. I'm going to bless us as a family. We're taking a 10-day break and we're leaving this week and we will be gone next Sunday. But you have in Slack, sharing live on Zoom, and I appreciate the team are working to make it a two-way experience, so you'll be able to talk to him and he'll be able to talk to you. So that'll be a really good thing. That's not easy to do and get it right. So I remember they did try. Has anyone ever seen a Zoom where one person's talking and then you got about 3 seconds gap and you just wait and then you talk just as they start talking again? So pray for the tech team that they can try and sort those sorts of things out. But whichever that works, however that works, he is definitely going to be speaking to you and ministering a message. But when I come back then the following Sunday, I'll be here. I will be speaking. We will pick up on some of these things about all the provisions, what that bubble looks like, what it looks like to be in that place, the provision and the things we need to do in order to work it out. But I want you to come around the communion table with me. And I want you to be able to minister to the Lord at the moment. And I want you to think about maybe those words, loose yourself from the chains around your neck. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. Take the oil of gladness instead of the oil of mourning, instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness. You know, I remember years ago, I'm not sure, years ago, maybe not that long, I did speak a message about you can't wear two coats. There's times when you've got to exchange. And when you're in this bubble, there's things that you leave behind in Babylon. Do you know what I mean? You leave them behind and you put on something. This bubble is not just a migration of all the things that you used to do in Babylon, the mourning and the complaining and the hanging the harps in the trees. And God, that's why he says, no, I want you to come and I want you to be singing and I want you to be rejoicing. I want you to be praising. He said, I want you to shake off those chains. I want you to shake off the dust. I want you to break that off you. And that's what we're going to come around the communion table and just remember and think about. This is a meal where I celebrate that I'm shaking off things that don't belong. They're not part of my journey this week. All right, you're coming into a journey this week. What are you going to take with you into this journey? And you say, well, there's some stuff I'm not taking in Jesus' name. There's some stuff that has been part of my past that's not coming with me in Jesus' name. That's not going to be what God and me are going to enjoy this week. And the enemy might say, yeah, but it's going to be a pretty dry week. And you say, well, Lord, I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, that the exchange is, I'm going to go in, I'm going to receive your grace for water and provision and life in my week in Jesus' name. I want those, maybe we can serve the people, that might be, maybe you can stay seated. Invite you if you'd like to do this with us. This is a celebration. I'd like you to take a piece of broken biscuit in the cup and just hold it, and we'll eat and drink together when everyone's been served. And this represents something that Jesus gave to his church. He said, I want you to take this meal known as was a specific Jewish feast that they used to celebrate, Passover. But he put the full understanding to it. Took a bit of broken bread and some wine. This is just grape juice representing the same. But he took those two. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. You know, we're thinking about the water, the canals of water being brought to us.
Hey, Livestream family, just jumping in really quickly to say that if you would like to join us in this, we would love you to connect with us. Obviously, we have the biscuit and the cup there. So why don't you take 30 seconds at home? You can go, you can get some juice, whatever you have around. You can use water. Maybe you're out on the road at the moment. Maybe you have a drink with you. You've got your lunch there. You can rip off a bit of bread from your sandwich. Whatever you do, just grab something. It's not about having the exact right elements because we're not drinking blood. We're not eating flesh. We've got some biscuits, some juice. You can just go get a drink, some juice, cordial. That's often things we use. Just something that can represent this communion to you and connect your faith with what we're doing here. We'd love you to be a part of this. So why don't you take 30 seconds, jump off your couch, go in, get a drink, get a biscuit, and believe with us in this communion.
Now, he's brought life to me, healing to me, wholeness to me in this place. So I declare in the name of Jesus that the enemy's chains have no authority to stay on God's children. I declare that. If you're God's child, if you have trusted in the Lord, if you've put your hope in him, if you've made Jesus your life and your King and your Lord, if you made him your Savior, then I declare chains have no place on your life. If you're living still under the bondage, shake those chains off in Jesus' name. Life flow into your body. Sickness doesn't belong here. Shake off that sickness in Jesus' name. Life flow to you. Mental depression no longer belongs on you. He's given you an oil of joy. Hallelujah. Instead of mourning. I declare life to you in Jesus' name. Healing and wholeness. Freedom. Hallelujah. So I want you to join me and eat and drink together. And we say, Lord, this is your life in this place that I am in. There is life here. Life here in Jesus' name. Let's eat and drink together.
My eyes on the things that I can't see now. Spirit, breathe like the wind, come have your way. Isn't it here now? Right here now is where his life is. Cause I know that you are here now. Still my heart, let your voice be all I hear. My eyes on the things that I can't see now. Spirit, breathe like the wind, come have your way. Cause I know that you are here now. Still my heart, let your voice be all I can. My eyes on the things that I can't see now. Spirit, breathe like the wind, come have your way.
Hallelujah. And I just want to speak to anyone who's watching, both here in the meeting but also live, or maybe even in the future. You've come across this and you're watching, and you are not in this bubble that we are enjoying. You don't have Jesus before and you don't have Jesus after. Well, I want to give you an opportunity. This is a place where it's not just for the elite. It's not just for those who come from special heritage. Not just for those who God has randomly selected and tapped on the shoulders. He says, whoever is thirsty, come. Whoever is thirsty, come. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, in other words, come, buy and eat without money and without cost. What an amazing offer God has given us. We do not earn this. We do not come with all our good works and say, I think I've earned it. I don't come with all my credits and my vouchers and my coupons and say, I've done enough to get your favor. It says, come with nothing except his grace. So everyone needs to do what I did as an 8-year-old boy. Ran home, got on my knees. And I said, Jesus, I need you and I want you to be my Savior. If you want to explore this, go to our website, breakthrough.org.au. We have a section called Jesus. We have a whole section, Jesus. Hallelujah, because he's so important to us and we gave you opportunity. You can explore that. Go and look at that if you want to explore it. But maybe you're like I was and I was ready on that day. I want you to join me in a prayer. I want to open up your heart and you say, Jesus, I come to you. I'm thirsty. I need the water of God. I need to be saved. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need to turn my life over from running it myself to be put into your hands. I need you to become my God, my Lord. And in doing that, my trust in you, you become my Savior, my healer and redeemer. In Jesus' name, I yield myself to you and I set myself to following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I encourage you, if you've prayed that prayer, send us a message. You can send a text there, get in touch with us, come and see one of the beautiful people here. And if you can't find one of the beautiful ones, just pick one of the other helpers and servants here. We'll all be glad to help you. Hallelujah.